Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Let's kick your December off with the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so you can look for a brand new one of them tomorrow morning. But, you know, swing on over there, check out. You never know what's going to pop up, so you want to venture over there whenever you get the chance. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. Mr. Fantasy, he's a little weird about it, but Dan and I would greatly appreciate it. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which, come on, you know it by now. It's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at...
Dan, the man with three.
All right, Dan. So yesterday, you know, we had a big discussion about the list of possible non-tendered players and stuff like that. And we actually had some action on a couple of the guys that we discussed. Stephen Vogt actually agreed to a deal with the Brewers. So he will be staying in Milwaukee. This way he gets to avoid arbitration and, you know all that fun stuff. I'm looking to see. I don't know if they have the terms of the deal here yet. But it was definitely announced that he will sign with the Brewers, and he'll be staying there. But the interesting one, this is being reported by, the good old Mickey Mouse Network's Jesse Rogers, who Dan and I know is a local guy. The Cubs plan to non-tender Hector Rondon. The projected earnings for Rondon were going to be $6.2 million via arbitration, and that price tag was too high for the Cubs, and they couldn't find a trade partner. So they will non-tender Rondon, and he will go into free agency. I'm interested to get your take on that, Dan, because, I mean, I know he's had his struggles, but this is a team with a bad bullpen.
I know you meant right now.
Sure, right now.
I mean, there's got to be someone else out there that they can go after. You know, you mentioned before he was a pretty solid closer, but he just seemed to have lost his stuff. And I don't know, I feel like over the last couple of seasons, he's really proven to not be as effective as you want him to be. I guess it depends on what team he ends up with, but I don't really see him being a late inning kind of guy anymore. I don't want to even say late inning, but a high pressure situation kind of guy.
Yeah, and you know, you wonder what happened. I mean, you go from dominant closer to a guy who can't get anybody out. But you know, that does happen. Maybe down the road, you know, if nobody signs him, the Cubs bring him back in at a much lower money deal, you know, something like that, because they're familiar with him. But I he'll catch on somewhere because he is a hard thrower. And, maybe somebody will straighten him out. But I found out Vogt signed for $3,065,000. So 3.065 is what Vogt got. Interestingly, yeah, out of all the guys, I was surprised that Rondon was the one who got non-tendered right away.
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, maybe they'll let him take a look around and re-sign him like they did with Dexter Fowler.
Yeah, you know, that's also a possibility. And then we did have an actual free agent signing. And it happened on the other side of town here in Chicago. The White Sox have announced that they agreed to terms with Wellington Castillo on a two-year, $15 million deal. So he's coming back to Chicago, just on the other side of the city.
How old is he now? Has he hit the other side of 30 yet?
He's actually 30. Yeah, he'll be 31 in April, the end of April. And you know, he had a good year with the Orioles. You know, they used him in a bit of a, you'd have to say, platoon situation. He ended up in 96 games, but he hit 282 with 20 homers and 53 RBIs. So he did quite well for them. That was actually his career high in homers. So, you know, we'll have to see. But, you know, the knock on him, you know, the reason the Cubs didn't like him and Arizona let him go was because he wasn't a good pitch framer. So hopefully he'll be able to correct that problem and, you know, help the White Sox pitching staff out, because we all know how important pitch framing is. So,
yeah, I mean, he wasn't that great, but yet Arizona still used him in 2015 for half the season. Well, he actually played on three teams, but then they used him in 113 games in 2016. Well, I'm sure that's the reason Zach Greinke and company didn't do so well, right?
Yeah, you know, and it, you know, this works out really nicely for the White Sox, as they have a minor league catching prospect that actually, I believe, is supposed to be the best catching prospect in the minors. A kid by the name of Zach Collins. But luckily for them now, you know, there's no rush to get him up here, you know, because there's always pressure on, well, you know, you got to bring those guys up. You know, we need this guy. But, you know, the Mariners did that with Mike Zunino, and it hasn't worked so well. You know, it got to the point where he actually went back to the minors last season because it was just too much of a struggle for him. So, you know, this gives the White Sox a little chance to, you know, kind of leave Collins alone and let him, you know, develop on his own. I mean, I got his numbers here. He's only 22, and he played the majority of the season in high class A. He did get 12 double A games, but, you know, he only hit 223, but he does have quite a bit of power. He hit 17 home runs. So, you know, it's on, you know, a smart signing for them. Oh.
A side note, I was in Arizona back in 2015 when Lolly Castillo was teamed up again with Ruby De La Rosa. There,
oh.
Like that.
So, yeah, so we get, you know, at least we got some kind of signing, because, you know, other than that, the news is just where you know, where Giancarlo Stanton is going. But, you know, Castillo was one of the, you know, kind of the better catchers out there. You know, I think the only one who would be in his ballpark was Jonathan LaCroix.
Mm-hmm.
LaCroix re-sign with the Rockies, or is he still on the free agent market?
Rockies, I thought he was with the Rangers. I'll have to look into that one.
Yeah, because they still are our favorite site here, MLB Trade Rumor, still has them listed as a free agent, and they're normally pretty accurate, so I'm guessing he's still on the market. But yeah, you know, looking at the other catchers, I mean, you know, your guy Alex Avila is out there, but, you know, he's 31. There's AJ Ellis, who's 37. You know, Carlos Ruiz is 39. Even Gio Soto is 35 now, if you can believe that.
Wow.
You know, Miggy's out there. Miguel Montero's out there, but Miggy's out there, but he's 34. So there's a lot of old veteran catchers out there. So I think the Sox, you know, did a smart thing in getting Castillo wrapped up really early. And, you know, again, it's not like they're going to be built to win, but, you know, you get a veteran guy in there with what should be a young pitching staff. And, you know, there's a lot of pluses to that.
Well, and what I was going to ask you, too, is, you know, I know this obviously isn't like a huge major signing, and it's not like bringing him over is going to help secure this team and, you know, even put him in a wild card spot. I mean, you never know if he can produce these numbers on a full-time basis, but I guess my biggest thing is, do you think the 5,000 fans that show up are going to embrace him? Sorry, it was
yeah,
a little
you know,
bit of a mock.
You know how it is. If you play well, they like you. If you don't play well, you know, you suck. So, but I did pick up here, Dan, a couple more non-tendered names that, you know, we'll recognize. The Royals actually non-tendered Terrence Gore. You know, the interesting thing about Gore is everybody was always kind of excited to see him play every day because he's a, you know, basically a stolen base wizard, and he just never got the opportunity. He actually ended up playing as much in the postseason for them as he did in the regular season. Like last year, he only got in 17 games, but over the 2 years the Royals were in the postseason, he played in 8 of those games as a, you know, appeared as a pinch runner. So it's always been kind of humorous on what would happen with Gore. So we'll see if he gets another job. But a couple more pitchers. The Diamondbacks non-tender J.J. Hoover, who, if people don't remember, was actually the closer for the Reds, I think it was 2 seasons ago. And he kind of flamed out a la Rondon. And then while we're on the name Rondon, the Tigers have non-tendered Bruce. I believe this is Rondon as well. It might be Rodon, depending on how you want to pronounce it. But he was a guy, you know, he was supposed to be their future closer. And I'm trying to remember what year they brought him up. It may have been, was it 2015? I think they handed him the job. And he walked the world. He just couldn't do anything without walking guys. And, you know, he bounced around a little bit. I found his stats here. 2016, he was really good. 5-2 with a 2.97 ERA as a setup guy. But last year, he was 1-3 in 21 games with a 10.91 ERA.
Ooh.
So, you know, a couple guys. You know, you figure both of these guys will end up in camp with somebody. Somebody will take a look at them. But it's, you know, it's kind of interesting now that we're seeing some of the non-tender guys pop up. And, you know, you can add them to the list of guys on, you know, who's going to go where. So, you know, then the other thing I heard, Brian Cashman came out and announced that he is done interviewing people for the Yankees job, the manager job. Apparently A-Rod will not get an interview regardless of about how much J-Lo tweets about. So he did not get in. Now, you know, a bit of an, you know, interesting candidates list. They had, you know, their longtime coach, Rob Thompson, former Yankee Henry Mullins, Eric Wedge, who managed the Indians and the Mariners, Chris Woodward, who I believe is a player development guy. Of course, we know about Aaron Boone. And then the surprise one was Carlos Beltran, who got the last interview. So there's your list, Dan. Who's the Yankee manager next year out of those guys?
I didn't realize Carlos Beltran retired. I thought he was going to be playing next year.
Yeah, he announced it after, I think it was a week or so after the World Series, that he was retiring. So, but yeah, so there's your, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys. Who's your manager out of that list? Now approaching
Old Forest. I don't know. I wasn't there for the interview. I'd go with Boone. I would narrow it down to Boone or Beltran.
So you, Kevin Millar went with Aaron Boone today. He seems like everybody's choice. And I know actually I read a report today that says if Rob Thompson doesn't get hired, he's going to take the job as the Phillies bench coach. So that'll be kind of interesting. I wonder if Boone gets the job if he brings his father in as the bench coach.
What about his brother?
Or his brother. Well, his brother had a little bit of a Twitter beef going on. I didn't see it. I just caught a little bit of it. But he had some kind of Twitter. I don't remember if it was beefing with the Yankee fans or somebody else. But he had something going on there. You know, now the interesting thing, unless Eric Wedge is the choice, you know, whoever the Yankees hire will be somebody that has no managerial experience.
Isn't that
but, you know, the MO these days?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, you got to have those guys who can relate to the players, Dan. You know, they got to be able to tweet and, you know what a hashtag is and, you know, what's the other cool terminology, what a GIF is or a GIF, depending on how you want to pronounce it. So
or a meme. Well, that's why I would think that Beltran would, if you're looking for someone who's going to be relatable to the players, and then on the other side of it, the influx of Latin American players. That's why I feel like Carlos Beltran would be maybe a better option because, you know, he just got done playing the game and he probably played with a lot of these guys. Number two, when you've got a guy who has no experience as a manager, coach, whatever you want to call him, doesn't that make it easier for a guy like Brian Cashman to sit up in the owner's box or the GM box or wherever he sits and kind of dictate what's going to happen tomorrow? Maybe not dictate, but suggest.
Yeah.
That's the term we're going to go with, Big Jack. They don't dictate. They don't tell you what to do. They suggest what you should be doing. There we go. We'll keep it PC.
You know, it definitely it will be interesting. I was wondering if, you know, Hensley Mullins, who, of course, the nickname is Bam Bam, you know, I kind of liked his candidacy for the fact that, you know, he speaks five languages. So, you know,
you wouldn't have an issue with
being able to communicate. But, you know, I guess it's just not going to go his way. So we'll have to see. But, you know, while, you know, we did kind of gloss over, but, you know, there is actual Giancarlo Stanton news, Dan, apparently. And this is quite interesting. It looks like the Giants are very close, and that's all the reports are saying close. Like the one says at least close to agreeing on a trade. It's looking like the Giants are going to pick up almost all of his money. So, we have a small rooting interest in the Giants here. You know, they're a team you and I always enjoy watching, and I actually did wear a Hunter Penn shirt to work today. You know, you add this guy into that Giants outfield, what do you think? I mean, they were, I think, the worst team in baseball last year, or one of them. I don't know if you and I ever believed they were that bad, but you add a Stanton in there and, you know, he gets to hit behind Buster or maybe in front of Buster, depending on how you set it up. Well, you know, how do you like these chances now? Dan, did you mute yourself?
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. My phone was in my pocket. But, you know, I like the chances of him going to the Giants. You know, they really didn't have an outfield, and their biggest I don't even want to say biggest name or anything was the guy that, like, oh, I can't even think of his name. He was there for so long. He played in the outfield. It's not Angel. Angel Pagan. You know, you really didn't have any star power. No. No, but I got a happy birthday sign when I went to San Francisco. No, Angel Pagan was the only guy they really had in the outfield. It was just kind of like, well, we got Denard Span, but he's on the runaround. And you figure with the fact that the Giants have sold out for almost the last 5 years straight, I know they have some crazy, crazy number of consecutive sellouts. And you're looking at a team that, you know, was in the World Series three times going back to 2010. Madison Baumgartner still doesn't have, you know, he's still on the low end. Matt Cain is coming off. I know he was in the 20s. You know, I think he was in the 20 million with his service. I don't know if Buster Posey's still on his rookie deal, but I don't believe that he was re-upped yet. I mean, building a team around Giancarlo and Buster, I mean, really, if any team has the money besides the Yankees, I think it's the Giants that would be able to pull on a majority of that contract. I mean, I don't know who they'd be giving up, you know, would you, how many guys you would give up. But I think that would be the nice negotiation is you want us to take all this money. Well, we're not going to give you five or six prospects. Maybe we'll give you three or four. I would assume the Marlins are trying to do is they're probably going the route of the White Sox. They're not looking for major league ready guys this year. So I don't know if you'd get a guy like Kelby Tomlinson, if, you know, he'd be in the mix there. You know, some of the young guys out of that pitch for them, which I'm really not up on my Giants minor league situation right now. You know, because it seems like some of the guys, I don't know, would you want to give up a guy like Christian Arroyo? You know, I believe he was a middle infielder. Or was he a pitcher?
Yeah.
It's been a while since baseball. I'm tired today. It's Friday.
You know, yeah, so I haven't heard is, you know, originally when this deal broke, it was going to be Stanton and D. Gordon going to San Francisco for a package that was headlined by Joe Panic and prospects coming back, you know, to Miami. But now it doesn't look like Gordon's name is anywhere in the reports. So maybe he's not going anywhere.
Well, you know, one thing I think with the Giants, after the Barry Bonds situation, we're not really going to dive too deep into it. You come up on the Melky Cabrera situation, and, you know, he tested positive while he was with that team. And despite being able to go into the 2012 World Series, he wasn't invited. You know, he wasn't put on the roster for that series. So you've got to wonder, and I know it was kind of minor, but still, I think it was a big kick in the nards for the Marlins and their team. When it happened to Didi, you think Bochy and the front office kind of want to steer clear of a situation like that.
Yeah, you know the Giants do have some, you know, quality prospects, obviously, like everybody else. You know, Christian Arroyo, if he doesn't go, may end up being their starting third baseman this coming season. And the interesting name that you got to look to see if it's part of the deal is going to be Austin Slater. You know, he had a little major league time last year, but if he's not going to be penciled in as a center fielder, you've got to wonder kind of where his future lies, because you're going to have Stanton and Pence on the corners. And I don't know if there's going to be a another spot for that. So there's, you know, a couple of the, you know, the names that could pop up. You know, they've been waiting for Kyle Crick to break into the rotation. Maybe with the retirement of Matt Cain, that opens up a spot for him, or maybe he's one of the guys who go in this deal. But there are some interesting Giant prospects. And again, like you said, we don't know if they're going to want, you know, are they going to want guys who are going to play in AAA next year? Are they going to want guys who are just AA ready? You know, it depends how long you're looking at this rebuild. But, you know, the trade will definitely, if it does happen, will tell us a lot about what the Marlins are doing and how long it's going to be, you know, before they rebuild.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, the more I think about it, and I guess it just came about with this Giant situation, is, you know, the ball is almost in the, I guess you would say, in the Marlins court, obviously, because they're trying to unload. But I would think that would be a nice little factor, you know, for the Giants to consider on not having to give up as much, because I think we all know that the Marlins are trying to relinquish that payroll. So, you know, it's kind of like, well, if you want me to take on this entire thing, you know, you're not going to get all these guys. You might get this, this, and this.
Yeah.
You know, but if you want these guys, you know, you're going to have to take on some of this. But
interestingly,
the benefit for the Giants or any other team that's, you know, in talks to get Stanton.
Yeah. Well, you know, interestingly with this, you know, there's always a little bit of fallout or a team has to kind of shift gears or whatever. You know, the Cardinals were one of the other teams that were right there in the running for Stanton. And it was one of the places he wasn't sure if that's where he wanted to go. Well, now that it looks like the Giants have become the big-time front runners, the Cardinals have kind of shifted gears now, and there's reports that they're in negotiations with Tampa Bay to see if they can get their closer, Alex Colomay. Now, you know, the Cardinals let Trevor Rosenthal go earlier. They do have Shin-Won Oh, I believe, was their closer last year. But what's become interesting now in the Tampa Bay negotiation is the fact that the Cardinals want to know if the Rays would be interested in including Evan Longoria in the deal along with Coleman. So that could be quite the interesting news there if the Cardinals, you know, they're obviously in the market for a closer, but yeah, if they were to add Longoria, and I know he had a bit of a down year, but you know, he's a quality defender and he's still a, you know, still a bat in the lineup that you got to worry about. So, you know, it could be an interesting move. If they don't win out on one hand, they may get another.
Would be a solid pickup. I forget who they have as their biggest. Do they even have anybody?
Well, I know they use, you know, Jed Jerko quite a bit, Mr. Fantasy's guy. You know, and they had some moving pieces. I know Paul DeJong played there a little, but I think he's more of a shortstop. And I'm trying to remember, you know, I don't know if Matt Carpenter played there. I know he played first last year. You never know where the heck he ends up. He seems to move positions just about every season for them. So we'll have to, you know, we'll have to see. But I thought that could be, you know, interesting. And obviously, you know, you miss out on one guy and you go get another guy who, you know, while he's not, Longoria isn't the slugger of, you know, Stanton's capability, obviously, you know, he's still a legitimate 25 homer guy at the big league level. And you gotta, you know, you gotta respect that.
Not to mention the defense that he supplies.
Yeah. So, you know, then I know, Dan, you and I actually joked about this the other day, wondering if it was still an award. And it is. MLB announced their comeback players of the year today.
Huh.
So I was looking to see if it was sponsored, but it doesn't look like it's sponsored by anybody. In the National League, they went with Greg Holland, who missed all of 2016 with Tommy John surgery, bounced back, had a really nice year for the Rockies, and is probably going to get himself a good payday in free agency. And then in the American League, they went with one of Holland's former teammates, Mike Moustakas of the Kansas City Royals, another guy who's in line for a big payday, was the American League Comeback Player of the Year. So there you go. We were wondering about it, and they do still hand out the awards, and that's who won them.
You know, I'll have to – can you email me that? So don't forget to double-check later. I don't think that any of us went that route.
No, definitely not. I would doubt, very surprisingly. I'm sure Stu picked the Cub. I oddly remember picking Clay Buchholz in the National League for some reason. I don't know why, of all the picks, that one sticks with me. But, yeah, I don't know who I went with in the American League, but it definitely wasn't Moose. Who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe Mr. Fantasy pulled one out there and he figured out what he was, you know, what he was doing there. So, you know, we'll have to, we'll have to check and see. So, but yeah, I thought it was just kind of funny because, you know, it really, you know, all the other awards, there's, you know, the big production that, you know, MLB Network does and all that fun stuff. And this one gets, oh yeah, hey, by the way, here's this award. Oh, okay. Thanks guys. So, you know, just one of those things. I am going to hump down our Google sheet here really quick and see if or what we went with, because now you've got me interested, and for the life of me, like I said, I just can't remember who I went with in the American League for some reason. I still don't know why the heck I ended up going with Clay Buchholz in the National League. I guess I was just looking for somebody who was, you know, was hurt, and I had to figure something out here. All right, what?
Well, I think in your defense also, it was, well, Clay Buchholz is seemingly always hurt over the last three seasons, but, you know, maybe the change of scenery in Philly kind of prompted you, and, you know, we've both looked at that team, and maybe their pitching hasn't been the greatest, but they've got a nice, solid batting lineup for, you know, defense, so, you know, you could have went either way with that pick. Obviously, it didn't go your way this time.
Well, here you go. For the National League, Schaumburg Stu went with Bryce Harper, and in the American League, he had Pablo Sandoval. The National League, Mr. Fantasy had Matt Harvey, and he actually did have Mike Moustakas as his American League comeback player. So he landed that. You had Andrew McCutchen in the National League, and then you had the King, Felix Hernandez, in the American League. I, of course, the aforementioned Clay Buchholz in the National League. And I had you in the American League. I had you, Darvish. So
that would have screwed everything up if he would have did awesome with the Dodgers, right?
Yeah. He could have won he could have won National League Comeback Player of the Year. So, but yeah, just one of the many picks that we stumble through, as we always try to do our best there at the beginning of the season. But, you know, at least you and I recap ours. You know, I know a lot of guys make picks and then they kind of run away from them. Oh, I didn't pick that. What do you thought? You know, so, you know, we ours are on record and we kind of stand up with ours. And, you know, if we got to eat it, we got to eat it. Like, we were all dumb enough to pick Washington last night and they got blown out. So,
I'm being off on Wednesday threw my week off, so I forgot it was Thursday, actually. I was thinking today was Thursday, but when I woke up this morning, but more so when I got to work and, you know, I hopped on Bing to get my points, one of the top headlines was Washington getting beat by the Giants. Or was it the Giants?
Cowboys.
Cowboys. I mean, I thought, you know, I got updates last night with Dak Prescott being taken out. So I'm like, this game's not even going to be worth watching. The Cowboys don't have a chance. And then I wake up this morning and that's what I see. I'm like, oh, man. You know, and my first thought was the fact that you threw out yours, mine, and Schaumburg Stu's picks. And when I saw that Washington lost, all I could think of was, Mr. Fantasy picked the Redskins.
Yeah, he did. He sent it to me. I got it again, like always, right before kickoff. You know, just one of those, you know, one of those things that I don't know, maybe he thinks it helps him waiting that long. So, you know, it worked out for him. But, yeah, you know, I didn't get to see much of the game, obviously, but I at work, there's we got a guy who's just an over-the-top Cowboys fan. So he told me right away, but when I went and looked at the stats, I realized what that Dallas did that they haven't done for God, I don't know how many weeks now, is they ran the football. You know, Alfred Morris had 27 carries for 127 yards and scored a touchdown. And as a team, they ran the ball 42 times for 182 yards and ended up with two rushing touchdowns. So, you know, it saved Dak Prescott from having to try to win the game, something that he just doesn't appear ready to do. But, yeah, I'm wondering if your guy Kirk Cousins, you know, he's coming up for a big payday. So I wonder if, you know, a couple picks, he didn't play too well. You wonder if it hurt his value, or at this point in the NFL, you wonder if it even matters with quarterbacks. So.
Well, I mean, it seems like you have one to five guys that pretty much can take over the league, so to speak. and then everyone else kind of fills it in. I mean, but even that, the guys who you think are the top quarterbacks, you know, a guy like Cam Newton, you know, is definitely, after that Super Bowl loss, has fallen back down to earth, and he just kind of seems like another average run-of-the-mill quarterback, which is maybe a little bit more talent.
Well, you know, I did mean to ask you, especially now that it's been, you know, announced, you know, we're getting close to playoff time in our fantasy football league. Did you go out and pick up Josh Gordon now that it's been officially announced that he's going to start for Cleveland this week?
No, I assume Mr. Fantasy did so.
Yeah, I went to look. I actually looked in our money league that Mr. Fantasy and I share the team in. And somebody did pick him up. Somebody took the chance, and they went out and they grabbed him. I don't think it'll make much of a difference there because that league, the playoffs start very early. So I don't think it's going to be any real assistance to anybody there. But, you know, in our league where it goes a little later and a little longer, you know, we actually go through the entire year, even though Mr. Fantasy has begun to cry about that. You know, it could make a difference for one of us. You know, somebody gets him if he produces, but I just don't know. I mean, he's been out, what now, is it 3 seasons?
Pretty much.
So, you know, that I just thought it was kind of humorous. I was wondering if somebody, you know, if somebody jumped out there and took the shot on him.
I didn't even realize he was activated, so it'll for me, it'll be, you know, hopefully when I get home, I'll double check. But I doubt it. I doubt he'll be available. I don't know if he looked. But even, again, for me, I don't. My team's been very bad, but then very great. You know, last week I won my crap team. I think I tweeted out the picture, you guys. But my crap team, you know, my defense, you know, along with special teams, everyone scored a touchdown. Kick return, punt return,
yeah.
And a deep one.
Oh, you're at Carolina?
Yeah. So, I mean, that was pretty cool, but it's like the team that I thought was just going to really kill my fantasy profile, I think is either 7-5 or 5-7, but that's all my teams, or all three. They're pretty much 5-7, 7-5. It's just been it's been brutal.
Yeah, I am. I'm 7-5. I'm 6-6, 7-5, and 8-4. So it's just kind of like, oh, okay. You know, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to look up in our league right now to see if Josh Gordon is available, and you know, then you could go out and get him if you wanted to. So we'll have to see here. Of course, maybe I need him. I might have to pick him up on one of the teams just to. Well, it's too late to trade him to Mr. Fantasy, so you know that wouldn't be of any help to me. So, all right, yeah, in the Sports Time Radio League, which I believe is that the auction league.
I believe so.
Yeah, he was picked up in that league. So he is on a team there. And then let me find the Snake League here. That's next year is here. Scored a whopping 2.9 points last night because of the Thursday night game. I don't know who I had playing. Double check that real quick. Oh, I had Cole Beasley. So thanks for the less than stellar effort there, Cole. I appreciate that. Then we will go in and hunt down. See, if I'd had Josh Gordon, Dan, I could have had a better week at receiver. See, I just, geez. Where is he in this league? Yeah, he's actually on a team in this league, too. Somebody picked him up. So, yeah, it doesn't it doesn't take long at all for a guy to you know, get scooped up, you know, they hear the name and it's like, hey, here we go. And, you know, he hasn't played since, what is it, 2014 or something like that. But that doesn't definitely does not stop people from, you know, wanting to get a jump on it. And I guess if he produces, you know, maybe it's, you know, something, you know, but see, like in our league, I mean, it's not a keeper league, so it's not like you can, you know, hang on to him. But, you know, just kind of, you know, kind of want to, I guess, you know, I don't know, maybe everybody's just kind of enamored by it, or they think he's going to, you know, be a, you know, be the Josh Gordon he was, which I'm not sure that's going to happen. But oddly, looking it up here, he's only 26.
Wow.
So, yeah. But, yeah, he hasn't played now since – he played 5 games in 2014. And, yeah, that was it. So, yeah, it's been well over 3 years, and – you just kind of wonder if he's going to come back. It will be, you know, I mean, at least, I mean, I guess it gives you a reason to be interested in the Browns, you know, or at least look and see what they're doing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that really gives them the edge to beat the Bears. Or is it the 49ers?
Well, I hope it's... you know, yeah, it's the 49ers this week. I think they play the Browns in a couple weeks yet. So, you know, they're still away, a little ways away from that stellar matchup. So, you know, we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, it did. I just, you know, again, it was just one of those things I saw, and I thought, you know, that's kind of humorous that. You know, everybody's kind of on that bandwagon. I haven't really seen anybody, any of the fantasy guys predict how they think they're going to do or how he's going to do, but I wouldn't expect him, you know, to do too much.
Well, no, he's going to go after,
you know, then I know
100-yard, 3 touchdowns.
You know, in my luck, he'll have a 200-yard game and catch, you know, 3 touchdowns. But, you know, that's just how it goes. Maybe I'll have to play him in FanDuel this week. That'll doom him for sure. But, I was wondering, Dan, you know, I meant to ask you yesterday, and I forgot to. But since, of course, he did play today as well, are you as excited about the Tiger Woods return as everybody else is?
Am I what?
Are you excited about the Tiger Woods return as everybody else is? He's put up a couple good rounds. So, you know, are you on board now? He's got a shot to win this weekend.
Yay. I don't really follow anything golf.
but it's Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
I
didn't even know golf was still going on.
Yeah, he's currently 7th under par. I think this is the start of the new season, actually. And he's tied for 5th place. He's 5 strokes behind the leader. He's playing in the Hero World Challenge, which I believe one of his charities is actually involved with as well. But it's in the they're playing in NASA in the Bahamas. So. But, yeah, so it was quite humorous. You know, they like everything else, there's gambling and betting and all the fun stuff. And they had he was a 100-to-1 shot to win the Masters. Before he teed off on Thursday, he went out and shot 3 under par, and his odds dropped from 100-to-1 to, I thought I saw, 25-to-1 or maybe 50-to-1. So I thought it was kind of funny that just in one round they dropped his, you know, his odds so much. But not that anybody cares anything except about Tiger Woods. But the leader is actually Charlie Hoffman, who's 12 under. So, you know, just kind of
sounds like
just for namesake, that's who's winning.
Sounds sounds like a relief pitcher.
Yeah. Maybe it's Trevor Hoffman's kid. So,
yeah.
But yeah, that was, you know, obviously, you know, all the, a lot of the, or I should say most of the talking heads were involved in, you know, Tiger talk, because it's the only time anybody talks about golf, you know, is when Tiger Woods is involved in it. And now that he's back, they're kind of, you know, especially the guys on PTI were really excited to talk about Tiger and golf and, you know, all that stuff. But they're a couple of older guys and they play a lot of golf. So if you, you know, if you play a lot, you're probably excited he's back. If you're like Dan and I, who don't play at all, you know, you're like, Dan's like, I don't care. And I just kind of pay attention because I see it. And I used to play quite a bit. So, but yeah, just one of those things. We got Tiger back, so everybody's happy. Or at least Danny.
I had a comment, but I forgot it.
So, yeah, you know, and it was really weird because, like, I saw everything was really positive yesterday about his comeback and everything. And then I saw one of the sadder stories about how he's no longer friends with Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley ever since the SUV incident. When, you know, everything all kind of came crashing down on Tiger.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. So maybe he's off all the cold meds.
Yeah, or whatever he was on. God, it seemed like he was. Didn't they find, like, multiple drugs in his system? Nothing illegal, I don't believe. But just multiple medications and stuff that he was on. So,
well, maybe he's found his way back to the putting green.
Yeah. one of those fun, you know, fun things that's going on. But yeah, you know, Dan, I know we go through this all the time with sports, and remember the basketball season started off and everybody had written the Cleveland Cavaliers off because they were scuffling to get going, and now they've won their last 10 in a row, Dan, and they're the greatest thing again. I never understand. I mean, as a kid I did this, but I was a kid and stupid. It just baffles me that grown men who watch the sport can write teams off so quickly when you've played 10 games.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know if it's because the Bulls are just so bad right now, or it's been a culmination of especially the last three seasons, that it's getting harder and harder to watch.
Oh, God. I try, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, I want to at least check in and see what's going on and, you know, kind of get an idea of who's doing what and what teams are where. But man, you know, I'll watch a game for a little while, and like, I, for some reason, and this was probably just stupidity on my part, I actually watched part of the Bulls Suns. Now, these are clearly two of the worst teams in basketball. These guys went up and down the court, not scoring, just basically running up and down the court trying to score. There was zero semblance of defense whatsoever. And I was just kind of like, man, why am I watching this? You know, so then I went and I just kind of thought, okay, well, I'm going to see if I can catch some highlights. So they're showing him a LeBron James highlight, and he's been playing great. I mean, I'll give him all the credit in the world. He's proven to everybody that he's still the best player in the game with the way he's played early in the season. They showed him taking five steps to make a layup the other day, and there was no traveling call. And I mean legitimately five steps. And I kept thinking to myself is, really, there wasn't one ref out there that saw that?
They probably didn't care anymore.
Yeah, you know, I was like, why in the hell do I want to watch this? You know, give me a reason to watch. And it's just like, there, it's just like, give me a break here. You know, sometimes, if you sneak an extra step in there and you get by with it, okay, I understand. But this was legitimately five steps, and there was just no whistle. And I'm like, really? You're kidding me. But, when we wrap it up here tonight, the Bulls are on. They're hosting Sacramento tonight at 7 o'clock. I don't know how much of it'll watch. Maybe I'll check in to see what I'm doing. But, the Timberwolves are on NBA TV tonight. They're playing the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have been scuffling. And I think I would rather watch the Timberwolves with, Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson and pretend they're still on the Bulls than watch the actual Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, if you had a team built around Markkanen that actually could play, they would be a lot of fun to watch. But, I mean, it's the game as a whole. Whether it's LeBron or anybody, if you drive the ball, it doesn't matter. You're just going to either make the basket or get fouled, and it just gets old. And the only way you really get a foul is because the other guy's trying to catch a charge. No one's really playing defense, so it kind of gets boring after a while. I mean, why doesn't every game just become like a dunk contest?
Yeah, a dunk and a three-point shooting contest.
Mm-hmm.
So.
You don't play defense anyway.
No. Just let the guy stand there and shoot the ball. So. Kind of ridiculous there with the way it, the way it kind of works out. But yeah, I'm like, okay, why am I watching this? Why am I doing this? What the heck is going on here? So I don't know. It's just, like I said, I'll turn it on for a minute or two to see what's going on, but I just, I can't stay with it. And I know the Bulls, even in a bad game last night, they had a really exciting finish with the Nuggets. They ended up losing. But then, you look at it and you got to realize that the teams went up and down the floor, I think it was three times in the final, 7 seconds, and all got great looks at the basket. The Bulls just missed a game winner that they easily could have won. So, my question again goes, nobody plays defense. Nobody thought of maybe getting in front of somebody and trying to stop them.
Yeah, well, that's been the thing that's been kind of interesting to me, is checking score or getting the score updates in the morning. He's got two bad teams, and the score is 110 to 111, or 113, 111, somewhere in that situation. You're just like, wow. You've got two bad teams. How are they scoring this much? And if they actually played basketball, could we have an all-star point scoring? 180 to 180.
Yeah, and it's weird because, that kind of seems to be the way we're heading. We're headed to that all-star game kind of, let's stand around and watch everybody score. So, I don't get it. I mean, to me, that's not enjoyable. I mean, I don't want to see a 75-74 game, but I don't want to see, 128-126 either. So, it's just kind of like, okay. But, that's what the league wants, and that's what they think, the fans want, and apparently they do. I guess their ratings are okay. I don't know. I don't really follow it, but, that's what you get. But, yeah, looking at some stats here, Dan, I pulled up. It appears that guys shoot more three-pointers. They do two-pointers. James Harden, Steph Curry, and Eric Gordon have all shot more three-pointers than they have two-pointers. Eric Gordon has actually almost shot 100 more three-point field goals than he has two-point field goals. So that's just kind of frightening when it kind of goes that route. But Harden has been the best out of the top players in threes. So, but I did see, Dan, your guy Tony Snell, he's shooting 48.6% from behind the 3-point line. He's currently tied for third in the NBA. So don't sleep really on your guy Tony.
I think I
well, you know, again, it's early. So, did you end up with him? I was wondering. I always think you should get him regardless. You know, it should just be a thing. When the draft's over, he should automatically go to your team. So.
Yeah, well, you know, the best team in our league. Well, I don't know if it's the best team, but the guy with Lonzo Ball and a handful of other guys, he's the one who's won the league a couple of times, actually, after, of course, I won the first one. Keeps sending me, you know, really crappy 3-for-1s for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, that one you sent me was hilarious. I was like, really? This guy really looked at that and said, this guy's going to make this trade.
Yeah. I almost want to trade Russell Westbrook to anybody else but him.
So then he can send that guy trades just to get rid of it, you know?
Yeah. No. Well, no, just to be like, hey, you know, maybe I'll do that at the trade deadline. Figure find someone. But that was the same thing with Kevin Durant. And I'm sure other teams with the top five guys get the trade offers from him. But, I mean, it was the same thing all last season with Kevin Durant. The amount of trades I got, offers I got from him, was like, geez, you just don't stop.
My team must stink. He hasn't sent me anything all year. So, Of course, you know, the one guy you'd want on my team, John Wall, is hurt. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he tried sending me, you know, a couple of hurt guys and one guy that ranked like 200. I'm like, I don't even bother. I just ignore them now.
Yeah. So, but, you know, I know, you know, we're running out of time, Dan, here, and I wanted to give a shout out to my buddy's son, this is high school football, the all Northeastern Conference athletics. My son, my buddy's son, Mason Mindum, who is a running back and a defensive player of the year for Alden Hebron High School in that conference.
Oh, wow.
So big shout out to my buddy's son. And he got a full ride scholarship, but my buddy's got to tell me what school it was for. So the music means Dan and I are going to go off and start our weekend, but Mr. Fantasy and I will be here Sunday at 10 a.m. to do this all over again. Damn it. While we're gone, you know the deal. SportsTimeRadio.com. Look for that new blog going up tomorrow morning. Link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. There's always the Twitter feed, too, which is at SportsTimeRadio. You can stalk Dan and I on Twitter if you'd like to do that. We're cool with that. As always, big thanks for listening live, but don't forget the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go over and listen to it at TuneIn.
Roll out. Roll out. Roll out.